Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 8. Isaiah 40, 1 to 8. Comfort, comfort, my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All flesh is grass. And all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. As we've read through the book of Isaiah so far, the past couple of weeks, a lot of it was heavy on condemnation. The sin of man was made very apparent, and through the prophet Isaiah, we're able to see just how much this sin both negatively affects us and also angers God. The righteous anger and judgment of God against Jerusalem was made very clear to us so far in this book. But here in today's passage, we start to see a shift. Verse 1 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Anger and judgment weren't the end of God's plan, but he desired comfort and restoration for his people. Verse 2 says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Obviously, this pardoning of iniquity and payment for sins is ultimately referring to Jesus' work on the cross. And this pardoning of iniquity is all-encompassing. I think the reason why we read so much about the heaviness and terrible consequences of sin, the wrath of God against sin, throughout the book of Isaiah so far, is because this understanding of the weight of sin is a crucial component to fully receiving God's comfort that we read about here in today's passage. So I kind of wanted to dwell on that idea for today's devotional. Imagine that you are a child and you've done something wrong. Maybe you've stolen something valuable from your parents and then you broke this valuable thing. And as a kid, you feel this lump forming in your throat and a weight pressing down on your chest because you know you did something wrong and there's nothing you can do to fix it. Now, your parents approach you because they know you've done this bad thing. And let's imagine kind of two different scenarios. The first scenario is this. Your parents see that you've done this bad thing, but they kind of nonchalantly shrug it off. They say, "Oh, this thing you stole and broke, we don't really like that much anyways, so whatever, I don't really care." Now, in this scenario, as a kid, maybe you feel a certain level of relief because it turns out that your parents don't really care. You've been left off the hook, and the situation has been swept under the rug. Now, let's imagine a second scenario. In this scenario, your parents see that you've done this bad thing, and you sense that they are upset. The weight of the reality of what you've done begins to settle in your heart even more. You begin to well up in tears, and you don't know what to say as you approach your parents. And you're shaking and trembling in fear of what's to come. Firstly, your parents explain to you that what you've done is very wrong indeed. It caused a lot of pain for both you and your parents, and it's something that shouldn't be done again and needs resolving. Your parents also tell you that they are indeed upset at this situation. At this point, You're sobbing as a child because you know you've caused grief to your parents, and you fully realize the weight of what you've done. You understand your wrongdoing. But then your parents, as the loving caretakers they are, they lay their hand on your shoulder and begin to embrace you. And they say, "We know you've done wrong, but we fully, fully forgive you. We will pay for what you stole and broke. All has been paid." Now, in the first scenario, where everything was kind of let off the hook and swept under the rug, maybe there was a temporary relief of burden, but ultimately, there is no true resolution or restoration in that kind of relief. It's merely a shallow passing by of our guilt, and a relief that is only felt because of a lack of punishment. However, it is only in the second scenario, where we've understood the grief we caused and then offered full forgiveness, that we can experience true restoration. We understand and acknowledge the reality of the situation, and payment for our wrongdoing has been fully made. Verses 3 to 5 in today's passage refer to making of the way of the one who will give the people of God this kind of full forgiveness and full restoration, a scenario 2 kind of restoration. And that is, of course, Jesus. And Jesus offers a restoration that is not just a forgetting of the past or a sweeping under the rug of the broken state of humanity, but one that has full forgiveness, full restoration, and the full price paid. And for this kind of full restoration to come, a thorough preparation must be made. Verse 4 says, "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." This is referring to John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. And through Jesus, the world will be turned on its head, as the comfort of God through the coming of Jesus will be revealed to all people. Verse 5 says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." And this truth, the truth that God has and will comfort his people, this is a truth that cannot be shaken and will not fade. Verse 8 at the end of our passage says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." We can confidently stand in this truth, that God offers a restoration and comfort that aren't temporary or shallow, but are full and all-encompassing. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for today's passage. Thank you for reminding us that you offer a comfort and a peace that is full and all-encompassing. Lord, your grace is not one that just like forgets about our past and our sin and just shrugs off our brokenness. But Lord, your healing and your comfort is one that fully reconciles our brokenness, that fully pays for the sin we have, the sin in our hearts, that fully restores our brokenness. So Lord, we thank you, God, that through Jesus, we have experienced this full restoration in Christ. So Lord, just like we read about John the Baptist in this passage, who has prepared the way for Jesus to come and pointed to a one greater than he, Lord, may we, as we know the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, all the more, just like John the Baptist, may we be pointers to Jesus, pointers to your glory. So Lord, we thank you for the restoration you provide for us. And God, in turn, may we glorify you and point others to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.